Some people pride themselves on a really good excuse. Going all the way back to middle school, high school, maybe even college, you remember the, well, my dog ate my homework, or my cat ate my homework. We can always find someone or some animal to blame. And today, it's no different. In fact, today, I'm not going to blame the dog. I'm not going to blame the cat. I'm going to blame the cow. That's right. It's the Holstein's fault. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Garth Ekman, David Lyons. Reach me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Also, thank you for many of the comments coming in to our social media page for Mingle Mate and Mary. We are trying to get that up on Apple Podcasts and Podbean. It's been a struggle. Also, we're brought to you by Well Built Body. Gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. WellBuiltBody.com. And today, like every other day, we're looking at culture, and we've been in and out of John chapter 4, and there's a strange thing happening in our world today that we kind of understand, but we only understand it better when we look back in time. I'll give you an example. There's a story of a young woman who got married, and she went to cook a roast, and as she was getting ready to put it into the pan, her husband said, oh, you have to cut the end off of it. She said, why? And he said, well, because my mom always cut the end off of it. She said, huh, that seems strange. She calls her husband's mother, her mother-in-law, and says, hey, your husband or your son told me that you always cut the end off of the roast before you put it in the oven. Why? And she said, well, that's because my mother always did that. So she said, oh, well, what's your mother's phone number? I want to understand why. So she calls her husband's grandma. Gets her on the phone and says, grandma, your grandson was telling me before you cook the roast, you always cut the end off of it, and I'm wondering why. She says, oh, because that's the only way it'll fit in my pan. And you go, what? But that's just the way culture happens. Things begin to change, and we never stop and study why. And I love the fact that Jesus breaks cultural stereotypes. He goes against the normal, the status quo. And in fact, many times when you do the same, you get called a heretic, a sinner, uncaring, callous, cold, all the way back to blaming the cows. Do you know why we have church on Sunday mornings between 10 and 11? Because for years, farmers could not get to church until after they milked the herd. Remember, we are no longer we're an urban society. But back in the day when churches were unfolding across the world and in the United States, it was run by farmers. I mean, that was 90% of who we were as a nation, and they couldn't get to church until after they milked their cows. So church had to start between 10 and 11. And we've kept that tradition for years and years and years. And what now if you wanted to have church on a Tuesday afternoon at 3? People would be like, well, that's strange. That's stupid. Well, you have to follow culture. Look, everything is changing and shifting, but typically it's changing and shifting in the wrong direction. So we have to look. The point of my life is I want to leave a legacy, and my boys understand that I'm leaving a legacy built upon my father. My boys need to live a legacy built upon me, but we need to understand why and how that's happening. How are my roots? How is my culture? How is my heritage coming into all of that to build something that will stand the test of time? And many times that means I have to change the way I do things. So look at this. A lot of times we look at change and we realize that, wow, this changed and it was a moral issue, but we made it a method. And you go, what do you mean, Garth? Well, there are things that we have said, well, this is no longer a moral issue. It's a method. It's a cause and effect. It's a personal opinion. You talk about transgenderism or homosexuality, and you go, well, it's no longer a moral issue. Yes, it is. But our culture has allowed it to change and morph. And in turn, we're changing the legacy of a nation. And many of us, in our changing of our beliefs, are changing our legacy from what our father and our grandfather and our great-grandfather built on Christian heritage, on Christian virtues. And speaking of virtues, we've now made virtues variables. Well, you know, abortion is wrong unless, and then you fill in the blank. Unfortunately, we don't like to hear the truth. Abortion is wrong, period. When you say, well, they've been raped or they're young or it gets in the way of college, you are excusing the fact that God can redeem the worst of the worst and make it a blessing, make it an act of incredible blessing and grace, because you've turned that virtue into a variable. And then we have what we used to call Christianity, and I hate that term today, because now Christianity has simply become a culture. Look, I've said this 1,000 times, and I'm stealing the line from Chris Vallotton from Bethel. He said, many people have the right to call themselves a Christian, but by their behavior, you should definitely not call yourself a follower of Jesus. Man, do I run into a lot of people like that. Well, I'm a Christian, but then you look at their morals, you look at their virtues, you look at their character, and you go, you might call yourself a Christian. I guess I'll give you that. However, you're definitely not a follower of Jesus. And so in John chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We read some last week. Jesus comes and he changes. He breaks the traditions and the methods and the mold and everything. He goes completely against society's norms with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Samaritans. He embraces change through his lifestyle, but it all fit within the bookends, within the realm of Scripture and holiness. He didn't change things that went outside of Scripture. In fact, things had gotten so twisted by the Pharisees. When he changed things to face back into who he was as the Messiah, those things went against that society at that time. He pointed out all the inconsistencies of the hypocrites who, for the sake of tradition, for the sake of popularity, for the sake of political correctness, were all doing things that were anti-Scripture. The truth is today, Jesus and his word flies in the face of the world. It flies in the face of political correctness. It flies in the face of what your neighbor and your boss and what you hear on TV and what the media says and the rock star and the actress and the actor and the $1 billion businessman. It flies in the face of that. Jesus was a radical. He didn't go by what was popular. He went by what was holy. That is how you set a godly example, a godly legacy. Garth Ekman, David Lyons, keep slaying giants.